bitch, I'm a flutter boy. 7'3s to them AMGs, now we rolling bars.
Rolling bars, yeah.
Yeah, my mama raised me, FLA paid me. I beat all of them cases, I'm on. Yeah, I'm a flutter boy. Ooh. Old school, big rims, sit like talking toys.
Talking toys, yeah.
I got a flutter stand of mine now. I be on my grind now. Let my f***ing shine, now they on.
It's hard as hell for a young Florida boy. Where we play football and sell dope.
It's the Flow Factory, and we're back with Hillsborough County Finest, Gator Great, my guy Zach Carter. What's up with it, my dude?
What's good, man?
Hey,
how you
man.
Doing, man? Feel good to be here, man. You know, boy gave me that call, told me to come on the show, man. I couldn't turn it down, you know. Silk, that my guy.
Already.
Been rocking for a long time, so.
Already, for a minute. We down here in Dade County, man. So how was the drive down? How's the weather? You know, how you feeling? So before we get into the interview, man, what's up with it?
Man, it's hot out there, I ain't gonna lie. It's hot right now. I had a hoodie on. I'm getting used to that up north weather, you know what I'm
saying? Sensi weather?
That sensi weather, man. Mm. But, man, every time I come to Miami, I get that, I don't know, you just get that feeling like, damn, like.
You can't
get that feeling nowhere else. You know what I'm saying? You come to Miami, it's
few places like it. Yeah.
Few places like it, man.
Yeah, a few places like Miami, man. Love it. The traffic crazy, but everything else, the vibes, the nightlife, you know, the weather, the beaches.
The beach.
Right down the street.
It's really the beaches. You can't beat that. I tell people all the time, you can't beat that. Like Texas cool. I was just having this conversation the other day. Texas cool.
Yeah.
But like, they don't have the beaches and stuff like Florida got, you know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, Florida second to none, man. It's Flow Factory. So you know we're gonna be a little biased with the Florida stuff. But how's Cincinnati treating you? You try Skyline Chili yet? The food, cuisine?
Man, I never eat Skyline Chili. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Never?
Nah. I mean, don't get me wrong now. The people in Cincinnati, they'll die for Skyline. Like they swear by Skyline Chili, Gold Star Chili too. But they made us try it one time, as they did it, some social media thing. Like they had the rookies try it, but that's the last time I tried. That was first and last time.
What did it taste like? Why didn't you like it?
Bro, they got chili that has like a cinnamon flavor to it. So it's like, I don't know. I'm used to like, I guess people call it like Texas chili.
Correct.
Kind of got a good taste to it. Theirs is like sweet, like it's cinnamon flavored. And that just threw me all the way off. I was like, people love it there though. So it's like one of those things like, man, I'm not even pulling up there. I'm not going to White Castle either. I'll never go to White Castle either.
Is we're gonna get into some football stuff. Is there any food or any recommendation for Cincinnati that you like up there?
Yeah, definitely some recommendation. So it depends on what you want. Like if you, for soul food, now I got spoiled with soul food being from the South, you know what I'm saying? But like they got a little spot out there, got fried chicken, catfish, you know, you could find collard green, yam, everything. Soul Secrets is okay. Downtown.
Okay.
Downtown at OTR. And okay. Everybody, have you ever heard of Jeff Ruby Steakhouse?
Nah, I know about the chili just from social media and stuff like that, but I've never been to Cincy.
Jeff Ruby Steakhouse. Jeff Ruby is he's famous in Cincinnati. He got his own steakhouses around Cincinnati, Kentucky. So I feel like that's one of the top spots. They got sushi, you know, all the steak it's the best sushi place there. And then I say Pepin Dolores, it's an Italian spot.
Okay.
It's pretty good. I like going there. And we got a Papado out there. It's like 30 minutes outside the city, but it's not like the Papado down south. It's a little different.
Man, it's been phenomenal watching. I watch you crossing the street over there and watching how big you are. I remember your freshman year coming on campus. They was trying to pack weight on you to be a defensive end. Now you're in the NFL as a defensive tackle, man. What's that transition been like for you as far as like your body change and acclimating to the pro level?
I say it's been up and down, man. You know, I played in college coming in as a freshman, I was like 265 as a freshman in college. And then by the time I was a senior in college, I was playing my last year at 285. So now, right now, I'm about 310 pounds right now. So as you can see, that's a big difference. So last year, I felt like I got up to like almost 320 at one point. So you got to think about going from 285 to 320. Like, people don't know 10 pounds makes a difference. But
for
like,
sure.
You feel me? You start talking about 20 pounds and 30 pounds, you know. I felt like I was a little too heavy at one point, you know. So it's kind of been a little adjustment trying to find that right weight for me, you know what I'm saying? Since I'm playing inside now. But I feel like I found a number that I want to be at. I'm going to try to play at 305 this season.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's been a struggle a little bit, but I'm starting to figure out this weight thing for sure.
Yeah, that's what's up. Now, I remember last summer we ran into each other at the Gator facilities, and you were talking to Princely Umanilin, and you guys were talking about working out. You were saying that the pros, you guys don't do all that slinging weights around, that you into yoga and a lot of other stuff now.
Right.
What's that like? You still doing a lot of yoga, or you?
Yeah, man. I do yoga, I do Pilates, you know. I feel like it's something I started once I got to the NFL. I wish I would have knew about it, like, kind of in college and stuff like that. Like, I heard LeBron talking about it before, like Pilates and stuff. But now that I actually do it and I see what it did for my body and everything like that, like, I try to go a few times a week to Pilates. And then yoga as well. Just implementing that in my routine, you know. I feel like it's been good. It kept me healthy, you know. Been healthy 2 years in the league, you know. Haven't missed any games. So I feel like it's been working for me.
That's what's up. Let's take it back a little bit. Your introduction to football, Hillsborough County. I know you was a young basketball player as well, played both sports. But what was your introduction to football like?
My introduction to football, man, I'm not gonna lie, when I first started playing football, I hated it. I was telling my parents, like, I'm a basketball player, I'm a baseball player, like, I don't wanna be out here. Like, they kind of had to force me to go out there and play
what
football.
What age was this?
I was probably 7, 8 years old. Okay. But like, I was always like the biggest, like, in my age group, I was always like one of the biggest kids around. So like,
right.
Everybody like you supposed to play football. Like, you the biggest kid around here.
You
know how people be like, you see somebody big, they like, you wasting size. Like,
you
can't necessarily say somebody wasting size. Like, everybody not built to be an athlete, you know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things. The more I started to play football, like, you know, I kind of started to fall in love with the game a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But I get a credit to my big brother. A lot of people don't know. I only have one sibling, one older brother.
Okay.
He played at Jackson State.
Okay, okay.
He graduated high school like 2014, so he a few years older than me. But my older brother he was playing first, so it kind of got me into wanting to play a little bit. So I say, man, it's just crazy, because I really should have been a baseball player, something like that. I would have been a world-class first baseman.
Play first base?
Yeah.
You're Frank Thomas vibes, huh? Like big bat?
Yeah. I miss baseball, though, for sure.
That's what's up, man. So heading into high school, you're starting to figure it, like, you know, you're growing into your body a little bit. What's your favorite sport heading into high school? Baseball, football, basketball? Which one?
At the time, it was basketball. I was playing a lot of AAU basketball before I went to high school. But, I mean, I knew I was going to play football. My brother was on the team. Like, he was already on varsity. So, a lot of people say that's how I ended up on varsity my freshman year.
Okay.
Because of my brother. But I felt like I earned my way. So, I was kind of in his shadow a little bit, like, when I first got to high school. But then people started to realize, like, yeah. But I was definitely a basketball guy, for sure.
I mean, you're still in Florida, so stepping on the varsity football field in the ninth grade, can be treacherous. What was that transition like? You held your own?
Bro, I remember one game. It was hard. I'll never forget. I had to start two games my freshman year. You ever heard of a dude named Byron Coward?
Oh, yeah.
Out of
by five star. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay,
so I'm a freshman in high school. I'm a defensive lineman. I don't have no business on the offensive line. Like at left tackle as a freshman in high school, blocking Byron Coward. So it was towards the end of the season, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm on the field, like,
he was a terror. Byron Coward was a terror coming out of high school, for sure.
Man, what? But you gotta, like, I'm 14 years old. I'm like, man, what is going on, man? Byron Coward in front of me. But, like, I feel like stuff like that kind of, like, I'm like, man, I ain't gonna say I held my own. Like, I got the job done. We still lost, but, like,
right.
I mean, it just gave me that's kind of started to build my confidence, even though that was at O-line, though. I'm a defensive lineman, but that kind of just helped me, like, start to build my confidence a little bit, you know, as a freshman. And then I feel like after that year, things started kind of getting rolling.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, was that, like, the moment? Because usually there's a moment, like, when you play a ball where you realize, like, this is for me or I can do this. And I was going to say it seemed like that was a moment where you realized going against a guy like that. Where, okay, I can kind of, you know, I can bang with these guys. Because football is a physical sport.
For
know,
sure.
Know. So if you ain't physically there, you ain't going to make it.
That's what I'm saying. So, yeah, I feel like that gave me that confidence.
Okay.
Definitely.
Now, did you grow up a Gator fan? Like, which team in the Big Three before you got into your recruiting process?
Okay.
Sorry about
so
that.
This.
Florida State, Miami. Who did you grow up cheering for?
This get kind of sticky. Well, out of the Big Three, though, Florida, for sure. But, like, I got a lot of family that was Tallahassee. Florida, I don't even know what to call them.
Florida State.
Florida State fan.
Yeah.
I had a lot of family that was Florida State fan. But my mom is from Baton Rouge.
Okay.
So they're Tiger out.
Tiger out.
I got a whole side of the family that's like, they live for LSU football. So, like, it was kind of weird growing up. Like, I had so many different sides in my household, like Florida State, LSU. But I was always the one cheering for the Gators and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, like that Tebow era, like, you know, when things really started to pick up in Gainesville, I was always like, I'm like, man, I want to play for the Gators, you know
for
what I'm
sure.
saying?
For sure. I mean, let's go ahead. We're going to skip around a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, to keep it fun. So you said a lot of your family's from Louisiana area. Uh-huh. Let's talk that game in the fall, man, the LSU game. at the time, Dan Mullen sits, Kyle Pitts. And this is the COVID year as well, and I want to get to some COVID conversation. But we go into that game. And LSU's having a rough year.
This was a night game.
Correct.
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 Night game in Death Valley. Yep.
Death Valley.
I remember this game.
I think we're favored by like two scores.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Pitts, Kyle Trask, Kadarius Toney. The offense was potent.
It's the year we went to the SEC Championship.
Correct.
SEC Championship.
Okay. That game got weird, man. Like, how was that game weird for you in hindsight?
Yeah, that game was weird. I honestly don't remember like much from that game because we lost, but it was just, I remember we had a lot of stuff going on that game though. Like, I don't even remember Pitts getting sat down, but I know we were like missing a couple key pieces that game though, definitely. Was this the game Zuniga and Gennard were both hurt on the edge?
Correct.
Yeah, correct. So we ain't even had like our two best rushers on the field at one time. So, you know, it was just one of them games like everybody was just frustrated, you know what I'm saying? But I really don't remember much from that game.
As a fan heading into it, I felt super confident. And then we didn't have any inclination that Kyle Pitts was going to get sat. didn't feel good about Zuniga and Grenard being, you know, banged up, but yeah. LSU was having a rough year.
Right.
And I was just like, yo, they're not going to be able to score points with us because that offense was cooking a little bit.
Yeah.
And then right before the game, you see the heavy fog. I'm like, all right, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, the LSU game is always a rough one, so I'm like, that's weird. And then you get the announcement right before kickoff that Kyle Pitts wasn't going to be playing, and he was in street clothes. I'm like, ah, here we go, man. This might get a little weird.
Yeah, man.
When did you don't remember when you guys found out about Kyle Pitts not playing, or was it just kind of vague for you?
Yeah, it's kind of vague for me, honestly. I'll be having some.
I was going to say, a lot of time, like, sometimes, like, with offense and defense, like, in college, it's so split in a way where sometimes you don't even know what's going on with the defense or offense or who's in, who's not until, like, the game going on, and you're like, oh, damn, like, he ain't even playing. Like,
it is split. It is split for real. Offense, defense.
Like, it's, for real. It's like two different sides of the team for real.
I mean, one of my best friends played on offense still to this day. Malik, you know Malik Davis.
Malik Davis.
Yeah.
Shout out to Malik, man.
That's my guy.
Got to tap in with that boy out in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game was still close, so we get down in the stretch and we make a stop.
Yeah.
infamous stop. We make a stop. Play's over. And my man Marco throws the shoe after a play. The cleat, rather. Yeah. We get 15 yards. They continue to drive, get in field goal range, end up winning the game. You remember that part of it or not?
Oh, yeah. I remember that game, though. I remember that part for sure. I remember going in the locker room. It was just silent. Like, dudes ain't know what to say in the locker room. Like, but that was like our one chance to go to the college football playoff. You
correct.
Know what I'm saying? Like, that was
correct.
That was the year to do it.
Right.
Definitely. Like, we had, you know, we had two first rounders. Like, we had everything we needed on that team to go all the way, but we ended up falling short, you know what I'm saying? But it was just one of them nights, like, man, like.
I got two takes on that year, right? It's a COVID year, so we end up playing an all SEC schedule. So as a fan, I always go back and look at the regular schedule without, you know, the all SEC schedule. We would have probably breezed through that thing with the way we was playing. So I look at that part of it. I look at how good the offense was. And I also think it was that throw, that whole moment was a turning point, in my opinion, in Dan Mullen. And his stint at the University of Florida, things just went south after that shoe throw.
It's crazy to look at it that way. But honestly, yeah, after that, everything just started going downhill. You know what I'm saying? But who knows? Like, if we would have won that game and, you know, got to the college football playoff, you know, Gator football might be different right
it
now.
It might
you
be never different.
Know. That's a crazy thing.
Like, yeah. I think the COVID, the NIL, it was a combination of things that kind of got Dan Mullen out of the vibes of coaching. And yeah. I think COVID was one. I think NIL.
That was one of my favorite years, though, the COVID year. Like, it was like a pain in the – it was a pain in the ass, like, having to get – whatever, they stick it
the nose. Oh, good. That was rough.
But that was like one of my favorite years, though.
Why? Like, what would you like about it? It seemed like it was like more restraints. You guys had to get tested more. And...
We did. We had to get tested more and things like that. But I feel like, in a way, COVID year kind of like, it kind of brought guys, you know, closer a little bit. Like, we had to fight through some adversity together. So we were kind of like, we're kind of like this as a team. I felt like that's why we were, like, so good that year, honestly. I mean, obviously, we had the talent and things like that. But then, you know, we were winning that year. So,
for sure.
You know, that's like, that's when I enjoy football the most, when I'm winning. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, that year started off, like, we made some comebacks. The Kentucky game, you know, we're down a couple scores. Felipe yeah. Franks get hurt.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm at the crib, like, man.
Oh, that was the birth of, yeah.
That's when everything started for that year and it really took off. So, Looking back on that, a lot of fans want to know, and I want to know too, like, because there's rumors of how, like, much better Kyle Trask was in practice with Felipe Franks. Was it a close battle, or what was that dynamic like when you guys faced them and both of those quarterbacks in practice?
Honestly, I didn't really pay much attention to the quarterbacks, like, at practice. But, like, because I'd be locked in, I'm not going to lie. But just off of, like, what I did see, you know, I mean, I felt like they were both talented. But, like, honestly, I didn't even – everybody was saying, like, Trask, he a gunslinger. Like, right. But I never really seen him in action, though. So, like, I didn't know how good he really could be, you know, at the time. So just seeing him turning to what he turned into was, like, crazy to me, because I didn't even know, honestly. Like,
yeah, Kyle Trask, I was one when McElwain, because those are the guys that recruited you guys in, and you had a couple coaching changes there. But with McElwain, when we landed Kyle Trask, I wasn't hyped. I was, I don't know about this kid. He's a backup quarterback. He sat behind.
That's what I'm saying. They told me they said he didn't start. He didn't even start a game in high school.
No game in high school.
You know what I'm saying? Which makes his story even crazier. Crazy, like, when you talk, like, he didn't play any in high school. He sat for, like, 3 years in college and just came on the scene and took off.
He stepped in that Kentucky game, started hooping. Yeah.
A lot of people overlook that, but that's crazy. Like, be prepared for that moment and have no stars, anything like that. You just ready for the moment. That's big.
Who was his quarterback in high school? Like,
it was DT, what do they call him?
Dorian. Dor- got him, like, UCLA, I think. Dorian Tomlin, Thompson.
No, I'm wrong.
It was Miami's quarterback.
I met De'Aaron King. Was it? What's his name?
Derek King.
He went to Houston, transferred to Miami.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he sat behind Derek King.
That kind of makes a little. Okay, I see.
But he was good.
Yeah, Derek was there. He could run.
He was that guy in high school. So.
Yeah, Texas sense. Rules are a little different. They can't transfer high schools like we do. They have to sit out, like, old college rules if they transfer. So he ended up staying at that program. Yeah. So he had to sit there behind Derek King. And they used to blow teams out, so he would come in and get some garbage time minutes. Yeah. But he never started a game until that Kentucky game when Felipe Franks went out with the injury, which is crazy because he came in hooping and saved it, you know?
No, that's more respect to him. That's crazy.
That's respect.
For real. You say the chemistry and everything was on point. Who's leading that locker room? We're going to get into some pro talk in a little minute, but who's leading that locker room from a leadership perspective? Because you came in a freshman, you had guys like Zuniga and the other guys, they depart and they out of there. Who's leading the locker room offensively and defensively, off-season workouts and everything going into that COVID year?
Going into that COVID year, I feel like we had, like, a lot of positive influences on that team. So I feel like it was, like, I feel like it was collective. Like, we had a lot of veterans on the offensive line that year. Like, we had, like, Heggie and I'm trying to go down the line of them boys. Big Stool. I think Big Stool was on that team. Heggie was on that line. We had a lot of veteran guys. So, like,
for sure.
just having that veteran presence, and then on the offensive side of the ball, obviously, like, guys, like, the thing, it's not always, like, your best players that's going to be the leaders on your team, but, like, a lot of guys we had worked, like, they led different ways. They weren't, like, vocal leaders, but, like, just the way they worked. Like, I used to watch the way Pitts worked. Like, Pitts wasn't, like, a big vocal leader, but, like, the way he worked, like, you know, like, you watch him, like, yeah, okay. So We just had a lot of guys that led in different ways. And, like, on the defensive side of the ball, I'm not gonna lie, Ventrell was, like, always our most vocal leader on the team. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always brought that energy, and he wasn't Ventura not scared to speak his mind and say whatever. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, I felt like I was a leader on that team. Obviously, I led in a lot of different ways too, though. You know, because I feel like certain guys, you gotta understand the players on your team. Everybody can't get coached the same way, and everybody can't get talked to the same way. So you kind of gotta adjust how you lead for different guys. Some guys can handle vocal, some guys can't handle that. Some guys I just like bring them with me and show them how to work. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it just depends. But I feel like we had a solid group of leaders.
Okay. Randy Shannon, one of the few coaches to coach at all three big three schools. He at Florida State right now.
Yeah, Florida State.
Yeah, bro. You know,
I can't keep up. I know he went to.
Yeah, Florida State now.
So he went to after Florida. Where did he go after?
He started after Florida, I think, with the UCF actually.
He's been everywhere in Florida.
Yeah, he's moving around a little bit. What was it like playing for Randy and also Chris Rumpf, those guys leading the charge defensively?
Man, Coach Rumpf is the reason I came to the University of Florida. Well, I won't say the reason, but because I was a Gator fan. I was probably going to end up a Gator anyway. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Coach Rump, he, like, that's one of my guys. Like, Coach Rump brought that energy every day. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always going to bring the juice. You know, he one of them coaches that, like, after you done, like, playing for him, you always going to keep in contact with. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like it was a blessing to get coached by him. I wish it was more than a year, you know what I'm saying? Right. But and then Coach Shannon, you know, I didn't have much interaction with him my freshman year, like, cause I was so young, you know what I'm saying? But you know, he was a good dude, you know, and I feel like Coach Shannon, he was a big piece of Florida at one time, cause he was helping us get like a lot of the Miami recruits and things
for sure.
So he was like a big part of recruiting. So, you know, I low-key wanted to get him back on the staff for real. Cause we need
Randy?
Him.
No, I want him with Randy, bro.
You don't need him. Well, We need some more Miami boys, bro. I be going to the facility sometimes. I'm training in Gainesville right now.
Right.
So I be going into the facility and stuff. And I be like, man, we need some more gangsters, man.
Missing some edge.
We need some more. I'm like, we need some more gangsters. I know you go to Miami, Lakeland, Tampa. You know what I'm saying? We just, and they said we had like, now don't get me wrong. Obviously, we supposed to have smart guys at University of Florida, but like they said, it was 75 guys on honor roll. I was like, man, we like that's not a bad thing. I was like, that's what's up. 75 guys on honor roll, like
if we in the brain bowl,
dudes handling business. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, man, we need some gangsters, man.
Need some 2.0s, some 2.5s.
You know what I'm saying?
Sprinkle in there a little bit.
Borderline. Borderline. Study, extra study hall at night. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all good, man.
We was Tampa heavy when you guys were there. A lot of guys from Hillsborough at that time. So what is your take on, like, the University in Florida, where we at right now? Billy Napier's in charge. Our defense was abysmal. Yeah, I think the decline kind of started that year after you left with Todd Grantham. The third and Grantham thing kind of started. Hey, you guys know about Todd Grantham thing, 30 Grantham from as players?
Man, I used to be on, I ain't gonna lie, we all be on Twitter, man. I stay off it now. Like, being an NFL, I don't really be on Twitter like that because you'll lose your mind, worry about what everybody be saying on Twitter. But like,
over-unders.
Yeah, but we seen, like,
yeah.
I seen, used to see stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where they used to crack me up. Everybody say third or Grantham. Like, I ain't gonna lie. What crazy is, like, our defense, I don't know. Like, we had talent all the way in a whole down the line on defense. Like, we had talent, but, like, and there would be games, like, we played really well, and people would be like, okay, but then, I don't know, it's always, like, that third and Grendel thing, serious. Like, we had teams stop. Like, be third and 20, third and 14. We give it up. I'm like,
we still getting hunted with that, because we got hunted with that this past season. That's why we didn't make a bowl game. Like a third and 25 or something crazy. And they, who we playing? Arkansas or somebody like that? And they converted?
Yeah.
Which was insane. We ended up not making a bowl game because of that third down. But it seems like third down been hunting us since, like, you guys were there.
It has, man. Honestly, man, people don't realize, like, I really like bleed orange and blue, you know what I'm saying? So I was talking to Brandon Spikes about this. I was like, I can't like get too into it, cause then I frustrate myself. Like, right. Cause I really bleed this shit. Like, I'm a Gator. Right. Like, this, the Gator shit mean the world to me, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes I'll be watching the games, I'm like, man, I be getting pissed.
Where I'm at with it right now. I'm so passionate about it sometimes, bro. Like, you got to tap out of it, but like, mentally when we down. Like,
nah, for sure.
Oh, you going to be on social media ranting, yeah. You know, like losing your mind on things you can't control. But, yeah, it's rough if you passionate and you bleed that orange and blue and watching what we are right now. It ain't a fun thing to watch.
Well, it's so much different being, like, playing, you know, and then, like, watching it.
Right.
It's like, because now when I'm watching on TV, I'm like, damn, this was going on, you know what I'm saying? So
what we missing right now? I asked you what you thought about Billy Napier, but what we missing right now?
Everything. Man, look, man, I tell you, I be real, you know. I just start on the offensive side of the ball. Offensive side of the ball, we got weapons now. Like, we definitely got weapons. We had weapons last year. Just me knowing, like, what we got on the team. Okay, you got Trey Wilson, and he'll touch the ball.
Him.
Anytime he touched the ball, and shout out to Temple. Anytime he touched the ball, he getting yards, he scoring, he doing something. So you got to get him the ball. He should be, like, the go-to guy. The big thing is, I think it's less of a talent thing, more of a coaching thing, but I don't know, like, what's going on behind the scenes. That, like, do you know who calls the plays?
Yeah, Billy calling the plays, man.
Okay.
Well, that was a big thing this offseason. If we bring in the offensive coordinator and he giving up the play sheets, but right. we didn't make that move.
I feel like we need, like, when I'm watching the game, I feel like Graham completes a lot of passes, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's efficient, he completes a lot of passes. We don't take enough shots down the field. We don't have, like, enough explosive plays. Like, we throw some screens and bubbles and things like that. You got to take more shots with the playmate. We got dudes, like, we got to use the guys, though. Like, I seen my boy Burt the other day. He was, I think Burt was a freshman. My last year.
Marcus Burt. Okay.
I'm like, Burt. I said, Burt, they gotta throw you the ball, bro. Like, people don't know Burt is like that. Like,
he's shown some flashes.
If they put him on the field, I'm telling you, he gonna go crazy. Nah. Y'all heard it here first. Burt gonna go crazy this year. Tell
you. What number is he? What number?
I want to say 80.
He was 80-something. I don't think he's 80-something anymore. They changed numbers.
So I changed my number 3 times. We ain't going to talk about that.
Talk about a little bit. Did Dante Fowler inspire you to get number 6?
Yeah.
What
that 6,
that thing?
I told him.
Yeah.
I told him. I mean, that my big bro. You know, Dante, that's my guy.
Hey, Dante, come on the show. We need to get Dante on the show for sure.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him to get on the show, for real. But, yeah, man, I had hit him up. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm like, man, I really wanted number 6. So I'm like, got to turn number 6 into, like, you know, a special number for defensive linemen. You know, nobody rocked it, like, recently on the defensive line, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like it kind of got to be, you know, kind of got to be earned a little bit,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I had felt like I had felt like I earned it a little bit. So I was like, man, I want number six. But then, you know, I felt like I added like that pressure on myself. Like I'm gonna live up to this. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I ain't go first round. You know what I'm saying? I would have ran like a 4.7, 4, you know. I had a chance, but
yeah.
You know, I feel like I deserved it though. Just like the number one, I feel like they gotta. I ain't gonna say they be giving number one to everybody now, but
we just talk about Ricky Pearsall like, in number one.
Oh no, I feel like Ricky deserved. Ricky deserved it.
Yeah. The rumor is that Trey Wilson might be getting number one. That's the smoke right there.
Well, he young, you know, he young. I mean, hey, he's freshman All-American, you know what I'm saying? He trending up. So, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. And I'm, you know, he from the city, so I'm a little biased, but.
You think anybody should get that six this coming year?
Nah, not this year. I'm gonna be real. Not on the D-line, not this year. And I ain't saying we. You know, them boys know I rock with them, but, you know, I don't think this year.
What do you feel about, I thought TJ Searcy and Kelby Collins looked good as true freshmen in the trenches. I think that's the future right there. Princely, Uma Nealon transferred to Ole Miss. Shout out to my guy. Broke my heart a little bit. You know, I rock with dude, but
he
I get it.
Broke my heart, too.
Huh?
I said, he broke my heart, too. I told him, I said, man, but it's, you know, can't be mad at him, you know.
It's business, man. I get it. It's a different era, bro. what do you think about TJ Searcy and Kelby Collins?
They're going to be stud.
Yeah.
Definitely. I watch, matter of fact, me and Javon, Big G, we were talking about, he said he felt like TJ was going to be a first-round pick. Like, he said, yeah. he'll bet that TJ Searcy would be a first-round pick.
Javon who?
Javon Dexter.
Oh, Gervon. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Big Dex.
First round pick?
He said he'd like him to be a first round pick out of Florida. I said, I watched him play, but like,
he liked
I gotta watch.
He liked that.
I ain't really watched like in depth, but if I break him down, I heard he liked that though.
Oh, he liked sure. that.
And then Kelby Collins, he did some good stuff too, you know. I heard they trying to move him inside though, but I don't know. He was playing mainly edge.
Correct. Right? I've seen some projected depth charts with him sprinkled inside, but I think on his Twitter page and everything else still say strong side defensive end. But you know that worked with you. You know yeah. how that go. Yeah. What was that like for you, even from a mental side of it? I want to get to some pro talk after this, but
yeah.
What was it like that waiting out process of being the guy in high school, heading into college, and you got to wait your turn a little bit, you got to put on some weight, growth. I know like mentally you could, you know, lose track, lose focus, and you know, lose confidence a little bit waiting your turn. What was that like for you personally?
Yeah, man, you said I felt like I did all that. Like I lost, I was starting to lose confidence, you know, starting to like, at one time I was, a lot of people don't know this, I was like, I was looking to transfer like my red shirt freshman year.
What, well, Clemson? Year.
Nah.
Nah.
I don't think, Dabo doesn't take transfer.
Oh, okay, that's true.
Clemson, that's true. I think that's the
he
one.
Do now.
Oh, probably not.
Now, I mean, yeah, that was his rule
wanna,
at that time.
If you want to compete, nah, you got to take transfer.
For sure.
But, yeah, they didn't take transfer. But I was actually looking at transferring back home, the USL. But
okay.
I didn't end up doing, and I'm so thankful I didn't end up doing that, because I feel like that would have kind of, I wouldn't say it messed up my career, but like, I would say it might not have gone the way I wanted it to go. So it was tough to stick it out at Florida though. It definitely was tough, but you know, it took a lot of patience and prayer and things like that. Like I had to start getting closer to God and just, you know, I felt like it kind of like made me who I am though. Like I kind of had to get it out the mud. So you know, once I finally started to get what I was waiting for, though, you know, I made sure I just kept my head down and kept working, though, definitely.
Amon, what's that like as a, like, you played at Miami. I know you came on the scene just eating right away. What's it like? he came out there cooking, you know. I was trying to, Palm Beach boy, I was wishing he was at UF, but we didn't really recruit him heavy until the end. But you got anything?
Crazy story about that.
What's up?
So UF, right? I'm committed to Miami. Then I decommitted.
Right.
And then I was thinking about going to Bama. I don't know if you remember, it was a kid in Palm Beach, Isaiah Johnson. He played at Dwyer.
Correct.
They essentially took him over me. And then when he backed out, like it's like a signing day or...
I forget what right he ended up
he
going.
Went to Washington State.
Washington State.
Mm. It was an and issue with him. And he started, they called me on like signing day or the day before. It was like, we got an offer for you. I was like, damn. I don't know about the boy.
Yeah.
They tried to reach out last second, but I didn't. But I used to like Florida growing up. Tebow, Percy Harvin was like one of my favorites personally. So, you know, there was some love there, but, you know, that's...
I think he went out there because Isaiah was a Palm Beach boy. He went out there, and I think Leach was out there at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so. Yeah.
Leach like got a couple boys from Palm Beach at that time.
Yeah.
But what was it like as a true freshman? Did you have teammates that were true freshmen as well, like hating a little bit or like nothing at all?
Honestly,
like that?
I wouldn't even know because, like, probably some coming. You said it a little bit earlier. I'd be so locked in. Like, once I put the helmet on, like, it's like a different personality. So, like, I don't even. Like, I wouldn't even know, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm so focused on what I got to do that I can't even, like, look to see, like, what he, if I made a catch it, like, how he reacted or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even, but from my standpoint, like, it was supportive. A lot of guys, they wanted to get in, but they knew they weren't really doing the things that's going to get them on the field, like, knowing your place. Because we all at practice, we seeing dudes running the wrong routes and missing blocks, MAs, and, you know, they call them loafs, you know what I'm saying? Just loafing around out there on the field, doing up, down. So it's kind of one of those things where we all know, like, so, and they see, you know, me out there just trying to do everything the right way, you know, knowing my assignment. So that just propelled me to get on the field because I wasn't the biggest. One of the fastest, but, you know, it's just the little things that you don't do in, like, high school or they don't really teach you in high school, you learn. And some dudes just, it's a battle, you know what I'm saying? Like, some dudes don't get, they don't take the coaching, whether it's coach yelling at them. So it's like that first year is like hard because some dudes just, they can't learn a certain way. And it's like a battle between them and the coaches that whole first year usually. And then usually the second year or third year is when you either get with it or you either never kind of get with it. Right. So.
Which lineman gave you the most fits in college?
Probably Andrew Thomas. Know what that is?
From Georgia, right?
Georgia.
Okay. Yeah.
First round.
It was always either like when we played Georgia or not like my last couple of years, but like my first couple of years playing Georgia, they were stacked on the line. I mean, they always got first round picks.
I was going to say, loaded. So like we in the ACC, right? So I got to ask this. SEC, y'all play against literally the best offensive linemen almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a... from a size standpoint, or is it is it more so like they're just so much talented, or is it just like their size? Like they 6'6", 325, and it's like...
I say both. I mean, these dudes be huge, but like they, like Georgia had a dude named Isaiah Wilson. He was like 6'8", like legit 6'8", 350, something like that. It's like, God damn. Like, you feel me? He was talented. Like, he wasn't the most talented, but, like, they just be, like, big like that. But, like, some of them definitely, like, got talent. Like, I felt like Evan Neal was, like, another dude. He was, like, just huge, you know what I'm saying? He was talented, though. So.
Mentality-wise, like, sliding from defensive end to defensive tackle, like, what's the transition to that? Do you, like, you got it. It's different at defensive tackle.
Yeah, you got to take on way more double team. It's a whole different world in there, you know what I'm saying? It kind of took me a while to, like, adjust to it, get used to it. But I feel like you gotta play with, like, a mean streak for real inside. I ain't saying, like, DN is more, I ain't gonna say it's more the pretty boys. I ain't gonna say pretty boy, but it's just tougher inside. You know what I'm saying? So it took me some adjusting to do. I had to like work on some of my technique. And
right.
It's mainly technique though. Once you like learn it though, like my third year coming into this year, year three, like I feel like this is gonna be my best year yet. Cause like technique wise, like I know what to do technique wise. You know, once you get a feel for that, it's just, and the game slow down, you start to get a feel for it.
You used to talk about technique and certain things. So when you made that transition, was there any, like, I won't say someone you looked up to, but professional athletes or like Aaron Donalds of the world, anyone you like model your game after or tried to learn some stuff from, considering you just made that transition? I'm pretty sure it's a complete. You
know. I mean, even dudes on my team, I was like, I play, it's two guys that play in front of me that pretty good, DJ Reader, BJ Hill, you know. I watch how they work, obviously, because they in front of me, so they doing something right. And then I also watch other guys like Chris Jones. I try to watch guys like kind of my body type, you know what I'm saying? Like it's cool watching Aaron Donald, but Aaron Donald is he one-on-one. Like like, you know, you could model some of his stuff, but some stuff that's him, you know what I'm saying? So I try to watch more guys that like my body type. So I watch a lot of Chris Jones, you know. I watch kid out of Baltimore. He just had a good year this year. Matabiki.
92, right?
He had double digit sacks this year. So
he played inside and outside sometimes, wasn't he?
He was rushing on the edge sometimes, but
he more inside.
He primarily played inside. Yeah,
took over in sacks one time.
Yeah, so for me. So yeah, I watch a lot of different guys.
Now when you get drafted to the Cincinnati Bengals, they coming off a Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
So when they call your name third round, like what's that feeling like?
Man, I still remember. I was sick. I was getting sick on draft night because, like, it was down to, like, 10 more names on day two. It was down to 10 more names, and I haven't heard my name called yet. So I was kind of getting sick, man. Like, I'm like, dang. Because I had a party that night. Like, I had family and friends over. I'm like, man, I'm not about to get drafted. I done had all these people come over. I had food catered. So I was in the office, sick, man. Then once I got that phone call, I was like, oh my goodness. Like it's like everything just changed, like right in that moment. And then being able to celebrate with my family and just, you know, it's what you work for. It's the best feeling ever.
So you happy, crying, like what's the vibes of the room?
Nah, I didn't cry. I couldn't cry. I was too happy, man. Like,
yeah.
I ain't gonna lie. Instantly, I got drafted. And then, you know, I hugged everybody, hugged it out with my family. I went out right after that. I went and turned up.
You in Tampa?
Yeah. Like, I went right to Ybor City.
Right to Ybor. Okay.
Just like that.
Okay. Are you doing this with the crew? Is Malik Davis and the Tampa crew? Everybody's in the building?
Yeah, he was there.
Okay. Yeah. That's what's up, man.
I went out with the crew that night.
Y'all turned it up a little bit? You already had some agent money on you in advance?
Yeah.
You riding big?
I ain't have a lot yet, but a good amount. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's what's up, man. After you get drafted, how soon do you get to Cincinnati?
It's like 2 weeks later, I'm there. Oh no, not even 2 weeks, like a week later at the most, I'm there. Like
you buy your whips in Tampa, or you wait till you get to Cincinnati to start making them big purchases?
I bought my truck in Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah, but I kept like my same car. I had the same car from high school. College, I took it to college. I still got it now, but I was driving that like my first 6 months in the league. I was driving that.
Right.
Then I didn't buy my new truck until playoff time came.
Okay.
Like, when playoff checks started coming, I was like, well, I said, okay, I'll buy a truck now.
What was it like that DeMar Hamlin game? You played that game?
That was crazy, man. I ain't gonna lie, that kind of like, I don't know. That was a weird night. Like, just the whole vibe of the stadium and the team, everybody, like, I just never seen guys, like, breaking down like that on the field and stuff like that. So it was kind of like one of those real emotional things. Like, it touched a lot of guys. I feel like it changed a lot of people's perspective that night. Because, like, okay, outside looking in, like, people that were watching that game, they didn't know what was going on and, like, what was being said on the field. So, you know, they were low-key trying to get us to keep playing that night. Like, they wanted the game to go on, obviously, because, like,
you know,
the NFL, they bought their money, which I respect. But, you know, nobody on the field wanted to keep playing the game that night. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it was kind of, like, up to – they kind of left it up to us. After a while, like, if we wanted to play, like, as teams, and then they just shut it down. Like, but it was like, you know, it just changed the way, like, I looked at, you know, some of my teammates, you know. It was one of those things that kind of brought us closer, because it's like, dang, like, we could be going like that. Like, we playing a game we love, but we didn't really know how severe it could get until, like, we actually seen it with our own eyes. So
right.
It was just one of those moments.
Yeah, when looking at it, like, outside looking in, like, it looks like all the players, like, it's like you get reminded that at any play, like, every single play, you run in full speed into another person.
Game.
And then at any play, that it could be your last. You know what I'm saying? So I think every now and then in the NFL or college, like, it's like that, something happens where everyone kind of gets reset. Like, oh, man, let me remind that I am human and that, you know, we play a dangerous game. And then I think everyone kind of have that respect. You look at the other person, the other teammates, and like, damn, like, we really out here putting our lives on the line for each other. You know, so it just makes everyone kind of like, you know, that's why a lot of dudes, you know, crying and upset, because, like, you, that realization is like, damn, we really do this.
Yeah.
We forgot about it. Like,
yeah.
And that night, everybody was telling each other they love them and stuff like that. So, you know, it was just one of those moments, like, it kind of brought out a different side of guys, like, that emotional side. Or, you know, a lot of men don't really show that side, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. What's Joe Burrow like as a leader? He's one of those young quarterbacks that's a phenom. You played against him in college at LSU. What's he like in that locker room in Cincy?
Man, Joe just got that swag. Like, he just...
we was close to getting him at UF. You know this, right?
No. Well, we were close to getting Jamar.
Jamar Chase, too, and
Jamar
McElwain
told
left.
Me he was supposed to be at Florida. He told
almost
me
had
that.
Both of those guys.
I'm like, bro, he could have, man.
So this is what happened. So Joe Burrow tells Urban Meyer he's transferring. So the first person Urban Meyer recommended him to was Dan Mullen at UF. And we had Kyle Trask and Felipe doing their thing. So even though we didn't have a solidified quarterback at that time, we had enough in the room where Dan Mullen felt safe and to move forward. But,
that's how he ended up at LSU. LSU needed a quarterback at the time.
Correct.
So it was, like, perfect fit. But
correct.
What could have been. But, nah, he's one of those guys, like I said, there are different types of leaders earlier. Like, he's not vocal. Like, he kind of to himself. But, like, when he speaks, it has a purpose, though. Like, he don't say a lot, but, like, when he do, he kind of lead by example, you know, just by his work ethic. And he that's why I say he just got that swag to him. Like, he play with that swag. Like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I ain't never been around a quarterback like him. So it's kind of, like, kind of cool to see, though.
Got you. And Jamar Chase, what is he like? I know he's a talker a little bit.
Yeah, Jamar gonna talk his shit for sure. But he like, he cool to be around though. Like, Dang, I'm about to say. I'm about to say something crazy.
But, nah, go ahead and say it.
Nah.
We need the crazy stuff. We try to go viral.
Nah, I was going to say, I fuck with Jamar though. But he like Florida. He like a lot of Florida music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like, he always be asking me like about, like if I heard Kodak, this Kodak that. He like one of them goofy personality, but he cool dude though. You know what I'm saying? But them New Orleans dudes and like, you know, you remember Brad Stewart?
For sure.
He was like one of the first dudes I met, but like they accent so thick, you don't know like what they saying sometimes. Yeah. Like they talk totally different. Like they got their own language.
For sure.
It's like.
One of my favorite accents on women is definitely that Louisiana, New Orleans accent.
Oh, you like that accent?
Yeah, it's fire on women. Like, listen to a dude talk like that, it gets a little confusing. But yeah, I met some women in my time with that accent. It was super attractive to me at that time. But
yeah,
from an NFL, I want to talk some more stuff. But from a mindset standpoint, do you guys, like, even after the Darian Hamlin thing, or just in life in general, what type of like therapy you guys get, like as far as like mental health?
I mean, we have like a team therapist and like we got somebody we can go to, you know what I'm saying? But it's not like, they don't really like press the issue. Like you kind of like on your own. Like if you want to use, the resources are there if you want to use them. But like, you know, a lot of guys don't use them, you know what I'm saying? But like they're there, you know, but I feel like they could probably do some more though.
What do you do to keep you like mentally focused and just handling all? Because this is a business. This is a big transition from college to the pros, and it's a job. Like even watching guys get cut in that locker room, that could be somewhat traumatic and bring you back to the reality of that this is a business.
Yeah.
So what do you do as far as like, you know, spirituality or just mental health to keep you focused and grounded?
Well, I try. A big part of my thing is like the yoga and the Pilates, it helped with my body, but all that is also like, that's like a time for me to like relax and like, you know, just relieve all my stress and things like that. Like my yoga, you know, at the end of my sessions, like we lay down for like 10 minutes and close eyes and just relax, like little things like that. It's not even nothing like crazy, but like those sessions, yoga sessions, Pilates sessions, they like big for me.
Okay. Which NFL city or NFL stadium you enjoy playing in the most so far?
I'd probably say Dallas. Mm. The Dome. You been in there?
Nah, I haven't been. I got it on my bucket list, but I haven't been there.
Joe Burrow in there.
In the Dome?
Oh yeah, Miami did.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
They went crazy.
Chase.
Yeah, they went crazy.
Had a field day out here.
Yeah, I remember.
Jerry World.
Yeah. We both caught hands from LSU.
It's a really good stadium, though. Like, it's like the turf. I guess it is turf, but it's not turf. Like that regular.
Nah.
It feels different.
Everybody like knows Dallas got money, though. So everything they got just state of the art is nice. You know what I'm saying? But it's not like really no NFL stadiums that's just like amazing. Like, to me, like the college stadiums, not all of them, but like some of the college stadiums were like way better, obviously. But
from a fan perspective, which one are more fanatic, pro or college fans?
College. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't really, college is like, that's probably as good as it's gonna get, you know what I'm saying? Like NFL fans, it's just not the same. College fans, they be having like pride in their school. So it's just like, it's more intense, you know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I'm a big NFL fan. Like, my team lose, man, I'm on the next team the next week.
Oh, NFL,
like
yeah.
Riding, NFL, yeah. I'm bouncing from team to team.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm a Jags fan, bro. I be tapped out mentally, you know? We hot.
They did solid, though.
Solid, bro, but I was expecting a better year this year, to be honest with you, man. Trevor ain't developing like I thought he would. The offense ain't doing what I thought it was going to do at this point. But as a Jag fan, it's all right. you know.
Better than they used to be.
Yeah, yeah. So, better again, than we just used to let our good ones go. Like, we watch Jalen Ramsey, Dante Fowler. Like, our good ones.
They going to let Josh Allen go? You think?
What you think? Would you want to stay in Jacksonville?
No. I don't like Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Personally.
I feel that.
Like, I ain't got nothing.
Y'all yeah, don't want to ride to Jacksonville. We catch a lot on Stadium Miguel with the Jacksonville fans. Or the Jacksonville natives, I would say. You know? But I feel a little bit of the same way about Jacksonville.
What do you think about NFL fans saying the NFL's rigged? I got to ask you.
Bro, y'all don't understand how much I get asked that. Like, people be dead serious too. Like,
that's what I had, yeah.
They like, people ask me, do you get a script? I'm like, no. Like,
it's not possible.
Like, what do y'all think? Like, no, NFL not rigged. Like, that one, like, outside, when you actually in it though, like, you get to see, like, how it actually go. Like, it's not rigged. I used to think it was rigged myself, but like, actually being in it, no script, nothing's real. Everything happened, like, there's no cheating. Now, I mean, some refs might have some bias towards other teams. Now, that might be true. I don't know.
Right.
Like, you know how some teams
I've seen some crazy flags get thrown.
You know how some teams get more. Kansas everybody City, say Kansas Bengals. City get more calls. You said Bengals, too?
No. I'm saying Kansas City versus Bengals. No.
He's talking about the game. He's talking about the game.
Kansas City versus Bengals.
Yeah.
Playoff game.
Yeah.
Mahomes run out of bounds, get pushed out, field goal range, game over. Like, stuff like that is, like, I feel like where the ref, not to say refs, but the refs make those pivotal little
for sure.
calls in a game where we know as athletes,
for sure.
Depends if you play for Florida, third and 20, you know, and second and 20, it's two different things, you know. Yeah. You can put a team out of field goal range, you know, you can change a possession quick with a couple calls, you know what I'm saying, especially. You know, so I feel like that's where it comes from. Like, the rig is more so like them little rinky-dink calls that could change a game here and there. But I don't think it's rigged. I like them. When I lose money, when I bet, I just sort of use it as an excuse. It was to validate why you lost. But it's not rigged. Playing football is really hard to rig a game, bro.
Yeah.
Unless you're betting on yourself.
So, yeah, it ain't rigged. It ain't rigged at all.
My biggest pet peeve with the game right now is you almost a flag football with the way you can't touch the quarterback. What's your, like, does that affect your game as a pass rusher? Like, how you approach and try to tackle a quarterback?
Yeah, man, they getting crazy with those rules. It's like you almost gotta, like you can't slam, you can't put your body weight on them. Like, once you take them down, so you gotta, like, kind of, once you hit the ground, you kind of gotta go like this. It just...
Right.
I don't know. It just put too much thought into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't have to think about, oh, I can't sack them too hard or I'm going to get a flag. Like, just sack them, bro. They kind of like messing up the game a little bit doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what ruins it for me, because I've seen so many defensive linemen either let up and then the quarterback end up breaking away and getting more yardage.
Mm.
So it's just like, have you been fined yet?
Nah.
No fines yet?
Dang, I'm 2 years in, no fine. Well, I'm
blessed.
I'm blessed, for real. Because they be taxing.
We done heard some crazy fines.
They be taxing people for, like, crazy stuff, though. Like, no uniform fines either. I keep them socks pulled up. They strict about everything. Like, if you got any leg showing, $5,000. Like, hey. They don't play.
That's crazy. What's your, like, what you want your, you're in your first contract. Mm-hmm. I know everybody wants to get to that second contract.
For sure.
We know you're going to make it to that second contract, barring anything crazy here. What are your goals as far as a defensive lineman, a pro, your legacy going forward? Like, what's your goals?
Shit, man, I want to, one, like, individual goals. I'm trying to, I got to get all pro, you know. I got to get all pro at least a few years before I'm done playing the game. Like, I want to be remembered as one of the greats to do it. Like, it's cool to make it to the NFL, but, like, I want to be remembered, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, all pro definitely on my list, you know. Pro Bowl, Honestly, I'm trying to get, like, you know, I'm trying to get some of these sack records. So I got to turn up. I really got to turn up this year. You know what I'm saying? I got to bring that heat.
What you doing in the offseason to tap in and turn up like that? Like, how you up in your game?
Oh, man. I'm training. I'm training like crazy right now. Like, and I wasn't even, like, I was training last offseason too, but, like, I feel like it's just, like, a different mold right now. Like, I'm working on all my deficiency, like, speed training, you know. I'm in the weight room. I'm lifting 4 days a week, like, trying to get strong. I feel like when you in the league, you know, everything come down to, like, everybody in that strong too, by the way. So, like, I thought I was strong, you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah. I gotta get stronger. So, like, I'm working on that right now, though. So I just feel like I'm taking it to a different level, you know, less partying right now. You know, off season, you know, guys hanging out, like, you could do what you want to do. You off. You know, school, you off. You could be in Miami all off season if you want to, you feel me? But I'm really just trying to dial in right now. So I'm 100. So
that's what's up, man. How does it feel? You know, your dreams come true. You guys, your boy like Malik and the other guys from Tampa that you grew up with and then go to college with. Everybody pros now. Malik's actually at Dallas, man. Yep. Speaking of Dallas, when you guys get back together now that your dreams have come true, like, what's that feeling like?
We be talking about it, man. Like, we just be saying, like, crazy, bro. Like, we used to talk about this. Like, we really doing it, you know what I'm saying? It's one thing to talk about it, but to really do it and live it, you know, it's a different type of feeling. Sometimes it's crazy, though, you know, you look back, just how far we came, you know? Because I know Malik, he been playing ball with him since we was, like, 8 years old, things like that, so.
He's been tested, too.
Yeah.
Like, injuries and,
yeah,
you know, so.
He been testing, man. He been at the top. He was.
I gotta get Malik on here too, man.
At the top of the top of the top.
Yeah.
His freshman, and he got hurt. He had to battle through some things, but nah, man. It's always good, and you know, when we down in Tampa, you know, my boy Leek like to say, man, we gotta pop it, man. You know, everybody say they gotta pop their shit. He said we gotta pop it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Put that work in, man. All right, before we wrap it up, man, to that young athlete out there, young ball player playing absolutely any sport, that, you know, sometimes you question yourself. The battle is really here, you know, like the doubt. You overcome your own mind and you overcome a lot of other things. What advice would you give that young athlete that's trying to find their way in this journey to the pros or whatever it may be?
I tell them, you got to focus on the now and in that moment. Don't think too far ahead, you know what I'm saying? You got to take care each day. You just got to, what can I do each day to get better and take it one day? I mean, it sound cliche, you know what I'm saying? But, like, you really do got to take things one day at a time. What can I get better at today? And then, you know, I say, like, a big one is patience, though. Like, you gotta have patience in whatever you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, even transitioning from level to level, Little League to high school to college to NFL or whatever sport you're in, you gotta have patience. You're not always gonna show up and be the very best at your position, like, day one. You gotta work, you know what I'm saying? It's all a process. My coach used to say in high school, trust the process. And that's always stuck with me. You know what I'm saying? I always say that. You gotta trust the process, you know?
It's definitely a process. It's developmental. Like, you, from every level, you had to wait your turn, put weight on, develop. I mean, you did it in high school when you first faced Cal, you playing offensive line. You go to high school, and then you go to college. You had to do the same thing, weight, put on size. Eventually get a defensive tackle, you're in the pros. playing behind some guys.
I had to do the same thing.
It's
like,
a process.
But that's what I'm saying. Once you do it, that's why I don't stress. I don't really stress like when things not going my way, because I've been here before. You know what I'm saying? So I know how to handle it. I know how to deal with it. Right. And then I got to tell them, keep God first. I can't forget that, you know. Yeah, you know, everybody don't believe in God, but like if you a real believer, keep God first. And let him guide you.
100%. I co-sign that. One more. There's some talk on just Twitter, like Florida rappers. Who you got for the GOAT? We got Trick, we got Kodak, we got Plies, we got Rick Ross. Who is your GOAT for Florida rapper? This Flow Factory, man. We got to get the takes on everything culture.
I ain't gonna lie. I got to say it right now, and then I got to say, you know, like an all projected time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But like, yeah, I know Rod that man.
Oh, Rod, like, wait, I keep forgetting to add Rod in that mix.
Hey, Rod that man, he's selling out arenas across the nation now, for real.
Okay.
But I say like just Florida, all like everybody just being around now, like everybody that talk about Florida automatically say Kodak. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you listen to Kodak? Like, so I feel like Kodak kind of like became like, who would y'all say? I feel like Kodak kind of like
Kodak. I'm Ross.
Yeah,
I got Kodak in second, but Ross, I'm a different era. You know,
he got that
Ross.
That, the one he like, he's like, I just too young to like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
here's my take on. I think like
Ross is
a global sound, right? Yeah. He Miami as hell, but yeah. He's been making big records for so long. He's bigger than just Florida at this point. Yeah. I think when you think representation of the first artist people think about being from Florida, especially these young guys, you're probably on the NFL on the road, it's probably Kodak.
Kodak.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Kodak, Rod Wave.
Rod Wave is cooking.
That's why I had to say now. Rod, because like, Rod one of my favorite artists, you feel me?
Yeah.
And everybody be like, why you like listening to sad music? I'm like, all his songs ain't sad, you feel me? Some of his shit, like, motivational. Like,
for
I get
sure.
motivated.
For
like,
sure, inspiring.
Yeah. Inspiring, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
There you got it, man. Rod Wave, Kodak, what's up?
I was going to ask one more question. I gotta do it. Week zero.
Oh, yeah.
We play.
What happened?
UF.
We got Miami and Gainesville.
We go to the swamp.
They got to come to Ben Hill.
What date is this? I got to be there. Yes. When is this?
First game of the season. We got tailgate. No, we got to pull up.
If we off, I'm there. It's in game. See?
Y'all should be starting.
I'll be able to go.
Yeah, you should be able to go to that.
But last year, the first game of the season was like it was early.
Yeah.
In the week. I think it was like a Thursday.
Thursday game, Utah.
And it was way in Utah. Right. So I couldn't go.
Right.
But if it's in Gainesville, if it's sad, I'm going.
Hey, pull up to the tailgate, man. We're going to have some great stuff. Man, how you feeling about the game?
I'm feeling great because, you know.
You shouldn't feel great.
So, yeah, I see this, man. I see, you know, Cam Ward, man, throwing for like 300.
Is that y'all quarterback?
Yeah, he transferred. We got no more.
I keep telling y'all about my venue, man. My venue be loud.
Where he transferred from?
Washington State.
He nice? I don't even know.
I like him. I think he compared to what they was gonna bring into the swamp. Like, I had us as a layup win before he transferred there.
He was celebrating, bro. Crazy.
I was hyped, bro. They lose. Yeah. They lost Tyler Van Dyke, you know. So they you look at their depth chart. Who's the young boy?
11, you talking about?
No, you guys' quarterback.
Oh, broke his arm.
No, Ja'Curry.
Ja'Curry.
You guys Brown. Had Ja'Curry Brown that was going to possibly come in and be the quarterback. So I'm excited. He's a running back at quarterback. You feel me? Cam said he was going pro. So I was like, yeah, they kind of jammed up. But either way, bro, I believe in my venue. Ben Hill get loud, dog. Like,
I ain't going to lie. No matter how up and down Gators is, big games, they usually win those in the swamp. I don't if it's gonna be a night game.
It's gonna be a night game.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah. It's gonna be hard for Miami to come up with that dub. And I don't even know how we gonna be this year. Like, we ain't did spring football or nothing yet. But I feel like just out the stadium alone, that's the advantage.
It's gonna be rocking. It's gonna be the first game. It's a lot of learning and, you know, new faces
for
and
sure.
guys got it. So it could go either way. You know what I'm saying? On paper we should win the game, but like you're saying, you know, you end of the day, you got lined up. And then you play on the road in a hostile environment.
You got to play in a swamp.
That swamp is that venue, baby. Hey, rain, sleet, or snow, the best tailgate is going to be the Flow Factory tailgate. We hanging out big, drinks, food, vices, everything should be a party, man. Content, we doing it up, bro. Make sure you pull up, hang out with us.
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody. Tell all that. Malik, tell the crew. You know what I'm saying?
Man, y'all pull up to the tailgate, man.
Big vibes. I appreciate you for hanging out with us, man.
You already know, man. It's been a
pleasure. It's Flow Factory. We out.
Hey, went by fast.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't look now, it's just the beginning. We win it, we win it, we win it, we win it. Yeah. Flow Factory.